Psalm 19. We looked at last week, talked about the freedom in fearing God, and we just looked at one point. We'll see how far we go this time. I'm not going to just keep going for the sake of keeping going since I was done last week, and I trust God to give me that same timetable. It might not take as long this week just because I really feel like last week was more of a foundational teaching, because it really, we just built an apprentice that really, to fear God, you got to really just respect who God is, you know. And I had a good time all week just thinking about that in Isaiah. God said, beside me there is no God. And just thinking about how God just looked this thing over from eternity past. He said, nope, can't find a God like me. God looked down eternity future and said, nope. In fact, he didn't say he couldn't find a God like me. He said, beside me there is no God. There's a difference in that. And saying that there's not a God like me, but he said there's no God beside me, you know. And when you catch the glory of that, then, and I didn't cover this one, I don't think, but he looked right now and he said, I still came to the same conclusion. Beside me there is no God, you know. And if you catch that, and if you really let that be the foundation for your belief system, that there is no God beside me, you know, except for the living God. And if you think that gives you a target to where you keep your eyes. You know, I can't think of with the chorus, but Alexis sang a beautiful song during the prayer time. Talking about looking, what does that lift you? I will look to you, or how do you go? I will lift my eyes to the Maker. You know, and as we lift our eyes, look at the Maker. You know, that's where the fear comes from. That's where the respect comes from. When we talk about fear of God, it's talking about just a recognition of that God really is Almighty. You know, because you think, and I mentioned it before, how many times have you felt pretty good about yourself till you look in the mirror and you didn't like exactly what you saw, or somebody looked you over and it set you off, or someone said something critical about your clothing, your hair, or just anything about you, and you felt pretty good about yourself. And what happened is the fear of them, you weren't necessarily scared of them, but their opinion of you mattered at that moment, where it changed your emotional psyche for that period of time. And that's why it's so important that the fear of the Lord, a respect of God, if there's no God beside thee, referring to the living God, if there's no God like God, then whatever God says about you and me, that trumps anything anybody can think or even come up with, and even in what you can think of your own self. And sometimes our own thoughts of our own self can be as damaging as anything else can be. But we look at number one, and the freedom and fearing of God. We talk about life is free from complication. The word clean, well, I should read the verse where I got this from, Psalm 19, and verse number 9. The Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So we look at the word clean, meaning free from extraneous matter. And that's why we said, in fearing God, your life is free from complication. Now, notice I said fearing God. And that goes back to, again, what we said. We respect Him, His Word, His will, His way. Not just knowing about God. Not just going to church, but actually really fearing God. Because I was a religious person several years of my life before I ever was born again. And my life was, the last thing it ever was free from complication. But that God's not the author of that, because the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And even at times as a follower of Jesus Christ, my life is complicated when my fear of God is imbalanced. You know, I can fear God in some areas, but not fear God in every area. You know, because, you know, there's this tendency, you know, of God, you can have control of this part of my life, but this other part here, that's kind of mine. In fact, Satan likes that, because then he knows he's got you. You know, because you know, if Satan can control you in any way, then that removes the authority or the testimony of God just really being the Lord of your life. Same for me included. That's why, you know, that's why there's so much victory. The Bible says when you lose your life, you find it. Because when your life is lost to God, that's totally in His care. You know, anybody ever been hurt and have somebody carry you? Well, I have been. I remember when I broke my ankle playing football, I scored and I fell in zone. I got up, I couldn't walk. I heard it snap in the end zone, and at first I tried to walk on it, but then all of a sudden a couple of big linemen from my team just came in and lifted me up and hoisted me up, and that was a lot different than me trying to walk myself. And they carried me all the way to the sidelines. I thought, But here's the funny thing about it, though. Because of my nature, I would much rather walk myself. But you know what I found out? I found out, man, those guys are strong because I had to be carried. And here's the most difficult thing about the Christian life that we really don't want to understand sometimes. God really wants to carry us all the way. And our nature fights against that. Our nature would rather limp along through life instead of just letting God carry us through. But when we fear God and we really take seriously that when he told us that for without me you can do nothing, he wasn't trying to harm us. He was trying to help us. It's just like if you think of like you have a, somebody give me a gift card for some place you like. Just pick one, anybody. Starbucks, okay? And so, and she takes a sip of her Starbucks. Okay, now, if I gave her, if there's a Starbucks card laying here on the ground, let's say Alexa was broke and didn't have a dime to her name, but she really would like to get something from Starbucks. And she picks up that card and she's headed to the store. And I say, wait a minute, Alexa. That card has no value. But she looks at it. She looks like it looks like a Starbucks card. And if you look at one, in fact, if you look at one Starbucks card from another, in fact, you can look at one that has no value, and one that has value, you wouldn't even know the difference, except for the person that said it put the value there. Now, if I told her that card has no value, am I trying to discourage her? Am I trying to make her feel bad? No, I'm trying to save her from wasting time and energy and being disappointed. So when God says to you and me that without me you can do nothing, he's not saying that to discourage us. He's saying you can have me. That would be like saying, well, me say, wait a minute, Lexi, that card has no value, but wait just a second. I've got one here that does. And God says, now, without me, you can do nothing, but I want you to know that for whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can have me. You know, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Without me, you can't do nothing. But he said, guess what? You can have me, and you can have all of me. Just let me have all of you. And so when you embrace that, and that's by fear of the Lord, then your life is free from complication. Number two, life is free from condemnation. Because as we looked at the definition of the word clean, it means free from extraneous matter. Also, whatever is injurious or offensive. But part of the definition means also to be free from guilt. Now, when we fear God, again, anybody in this room besides me ever sinned at least one time in your life? And you felt bad about it? Okay. Now, it doesn't matter. Now, if you're like me, you sin maybe against somebody, and they've told you they forgive you, but it still bothers you. If you're not careful, it can haunt you the rest of your life. But what has to happen is, the fear of the Lord says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the fear of God says, Lord, I know what that did. To others, I know what that did to me. And I don't even feel like that should be let go of. I don't feel like, in fact, Lord, I'm afraid to let go of that. But you said if I confessed it, that again, you look this over and you're God from past, present, and future. There's nobody, no God beside you. And since your word, by the word of the Lord, the Bible said the heavens were made. Everything is made by the word of the Lord. So since I fear you, since I respect you, then I'm going to allow your word to govern how I feel about my own sin. And you said, if I confess it unto you, and you're faithful, and just forgive it, but not just forgive it, but you said you would cleanse it. And so, since you're the one that rules everything, runs everything, I fear you, I respect what your opinion is about the matter, so I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving. That's how salvation takes place initially. You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You know, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that his death and his burial, his resurrection actually pays the price for all your sin. And that doesn't make good sense. That's just not the way we think, you know. In fact, I hope I can find it. Turn to Isaiah again just for a moment. I was looking at this week, and if I can't find it, I'm going to look it up. It's that good. But
Isaiah 55.
I may have said this, but I don't know. We're going to hear it again anyway. Isaiah 55. Notice verse 7. Now, this is good if your person struggles with any sin problem you have. And they said, Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So the wicked man forsakes his way, and the unrighteous man forsakes his thoughts. The Bible says that God will, not just pardon, but he will abundantly pardon. Now, see, this is good. This is great. Now, this is how God is. Now, it's amazing how sometimes we take verses and we use them out of context to encourage us in other ways. But this is a familiar passage that many of you have heard. But the way that God meant this is not the way we've taken this. He's saying he recognizes that you and I will have difficulty accepting an abundant pardon. And he says the reason that I can abundantly pardon you, I can abundantly pardon your wicked ways, I can abundantly pardon your unrighteous thoughts, is because my thoughts are not your thoughts. He says, I don't think like you. And he says, and because my ways, pardon me, neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. He said, the way I don't handle things the same way that you handle things. I don't handle sin the same way you handle sin. I don't handle unrighteous thoughts the same way you handle unrighteous thoughts. I don't handle wicked ways the same way you handle wicked ways. I handle them, the very fact I sent my son down, the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to pardon those things, but to abundantly pardon those things. And he said, if you just recognize that it will never make sense the way you think. It'll never make sense the way I think. But God says, the way that I think about the matter, that's how the abundant pardon comes from. That's why if you ever struggle with something that you've done or sin, God, just let God have that thing, because recognize it. You're never going to really be able to make sense out of it. But just forsake it. By that means, forsake your way, turn into the way, putting your faith in the way, which is Jesus Christ, trusting him. And if you actually fear him, you know what will happen? You'll be free from condemnation, because your heart will no longer condemn you for all those things. That's the power and the joy of salvation. And if you really grasp the power of that, that's what will cause you want to go tell somebody. That's better than coming to a big church service. That's better than even having a whatever. That's because there's nothing better than being guilt free. I was thinking, first of the year, if you watch any TV or any commercial, know what you see, all these guilt free foods, guilt free diet. They're trying to find some type of food that tastes good. You don't feel guilty about eating it. You know, after living almost 50 years, I've come to the conclusion that's just water. Thank God for water, amen. but we're free from condemnation, because the fear of the Lord is clean. See, the fear of the Lord is one of the most powerful things a human being can have, because nothing else in this world can allow you to really walk like that. Can you imagine? Turn to Romans 8, a familiar verse. Romans 8. If you're struggling with pardon and letting God pardon you, I want you to realize things. Think about God. God said, don't stop. God, if you're struggling with a sin and whether or not God can forgive you or something right now today, just realize, okay, just tell God, trying to tell you, stop. You don't think like me. Maybe you have struggled with forgiving somebody. Just let God, believe that God can forgive them and you forgive them. Surrender your way of thinking to God's thing. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's free from condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That doesn't mean earthly people won't condemn you, but it's amazing. If you know the truth really does make you free. Because it's funny, it's just like I said before, I could come to... Morgan's the youngest one in the room. And I walked into Morgan right now, and I said, hey, Fred,
I need you to do something for me. Fred, you know your name is Fred, right?
Yes.
Well, I guess there's no perfect example. They like to worry, but you know your name's not Fred, though, don't you? Okay, he just. But I would say you could pick anybody with enough. You could tell him anything, but he knows his name's not Fred. And when you know the truth, it wouldn't matter what I called him, you know. And if you know the truth about yourself, and if you know the truth about your sin, it doesn't matter who condemns your body. That's why Jesus never struggled I want you to think about this. The most renowned religious people in Jesus' day didn't believe who he was. But you know that never made Jesus feel insecure about his faith. He just knew who he was. And in fact, to the point when they come to get him at the cross, and they came and said, are you the Christ? And he said, I am. And the Bible said initially they fell backwards and fell to the ground, you know. And then they came standing before him. And he's like, I told you that I'm he. What are you waiting for? You know, let these go the way for the disciples. He knew that they did not respect him, did not appreciate him, but he wasn't bothered by that. In fact, he understood that was part of the reality of him walking in the Father's will. You know, Jesus did tell us that marvel not if the world hate you. But that doesn't mean hate them back. You can be discouraged by it. Recognize that is part of the plan for you to be able to bring people to Jesus Christ. There has to be somebody in your life and my life at different times that when we are really walking and being like Christ, that says, you know, you're just messed up, you know. I remember talking to a lady one time about forgiveness. And she just threw her hands up in the air. And I can't think of what she actually said, but she just said, I just can't see that, you know. And I thought to myself, I thought how sad. And it took me a while. And actually, I didn't come to that really complete realization of myself overnight, you know, because like I said, coming from a prideful background, it's easy for me. I grew up kind of easy, even in the faith, using the scripture to condemn others rather than to lift people up, you know. But when you actually really recognize the fear of God and you realize that, wait a minute, as I fear God and God establishes the reality of who I am, I don't have to live this life of trying to continually prove who I am because God knows who I am. And again, he's the Lord. And since I fear him, that means who he thinks I am, or I should say knows I am, governs everything about my being. So also, let me say this. That doesn't mean I come across some arrogant person. Nobody can say anything against me. But it's just this peaceful existence that says, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. I thank God for my pastor. I've seen him go through some tough situations. He's been here before, but I wish he could come more. And he just really spend some time with me and realize sometimes I've just seen people say the vilest things to him. And he just kind of stopped and said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Just kind of share something from the scripture, you know. It would just blow me away. I remember a couple of times when I was in training and he put me in charge of the church. And it's amazing. Every time I'd be in charge of the church, everybody wanted to come to me and change something while the pastor was gone. You know, I said, wait, no, things are fine before you left. We're going to wait. You know, in my youth, I said, Pastor, what's wrong with that person? How come you don't do something about that? And he would just kind of sigh like he hadn't figured it out yet, have you, son? And he said, well, Jesus, you know, I look at the way Jesus dealt with people and he would handle that. And he would just share the principle of Christ, you know. And you know what? My pastor is one of the most graceful, patient people you ever meet. But he's been one of the most condemned, maligned people I've ever met, too, at the same time. But those that really love him, they really do love him, you know. And so I thank God for that. And he just determined, he's got an existence where he recognizes what governs the authority over his life, you know. And you and I, that's why when we're here, you know, one of the things I really attempt to do is that we really treat this to follow God, you know. I don't preach on sin. Most of the thing I challenge you about who's running your life. You notice that's pretty much the current theme. Who's running your life and who you're praying to. It's not about what you're doing per se, because
If God's not running your life, it doesn't matter, even if you're doing, quote unquote, the right thing, because God can't bless you because the heart's not right. And so, but if you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength, then, man, as you do that which is right, it's not a reflection, man, I really do love Him. And then, guess what? If you're the only one doing it, you don't feel bad about it because you just did it because you love Him. You know, like I try to buy my wife flowers on a regular basis. And I've been around guys that don't do that. And that's okay. They have other ways they show their appreciation for the wife. There's times the guy that ridicule me for different ways or things I do to take care of my wife. But it didn't bother me because I don't do those things to impress them. The things I do to show love for my wife, I do because I love my wife. You know, so, and when I'm criticized for those things I do to support her, encourage her, and love her, that's okay because I'm not competing. As I serve the Lord, the things that I do because I love Him. Now, I used to, when my fear of God wasn't right, I would look for a way to kind of justify or to maybe make somebody else feel bad because they're not doing it the way I'm doing it. Instead of just saying, you know what, well, this is why I do it. I mean, let me ask you, why are you doing what you're doing? I mean, it's really that simple. And do you see, but the point I'm trying to get across is that when you do it because you fear God, then you're just free from the condemnation. And no matter what anybody says and what it does, I mean, you don't have to defend, you don't have to fight, but there's just settled peace when it's sincerely done for a fear of God. And not a fear of man, and not fear of keeping your denomination intact, whatever the case may be. But Psalm 33, just get some more Bible here. Psalm 33, because the fear of the Lord really is clean. Psalm 33, and that's why Psalm 119, verse 165. There's a great peace have they that love that law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the power of the fear of God. Because when you really love the laws of God, then you just, nothing shall offend you, you know. And that's the reality, because the fear of the Lord really is that clean, you know. And I challenge you, as you begin to read the Bible and look at the people in the Bible that feared God, they were able to go into the strangest of circumstances, the most difficult ones. Daniel, when they said, well, don't pray to anybody except any God except but Nebuchadnezzar. He just went up to his room and prayed like he normally did. And then when he got to there, they're going to throw him in the fire furnace. I mean, throw him in the lion's den. He didn't plead for mercy because he feared God. He said, well, God's got it. I was just doing what I was supposed to be doing, so nothing to complain about. God knows what's going on, I reckon. So at the lion's den, I guess it's okay. But Psalm 33, I think it's where at verse 18, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Upon them that hope in His mercy. You know, I said it before, if you ever had any little children is one of the greatest joys of little children is knowing that their father or a parent, whatever, is watching them. And, you know, as a child of God, it should be a great encouragement that when you fear Him, that His eyes upon you. It says, behold, that word behold means take notice. Take notice, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Upon them that hope in His mercy. And Proverbs 14. In Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children should have a place of refuge. Now, you know, it's hard to have confidence when you feel condemned by something, isn't it? So the fear of the Lord, part of that freedom from condemnation is that confidence. You know, and the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. And his children should have a place of refuge. The text I sent out yesterday, what was it? Don't let your weakness keep you away from the presence of God. Because we don't go into God's presence based on our personal strength. We go into God's presence based on His strength. The reason God made us His children because we were too weak to help ourselves to rescue ourselves. But isn't it amazing how Satan does these little mind tricks, you know? Like, well, my faith is so weak, I really don't know if I ought to be praying right now. I'm so weak. Well, that's exactly when you ought to be praying. But actually, there's no bad time to pray because Jesus said, pray without ceasing. If you ever wonder, should you be praying, especially as a child of God? It don't matter what's going on. The answer is yes. You say, well, yeah, but I did this. Well, yeah, pray. Yeah, but you don't understand. I hadn't talked to God. Yeah, pray. Whatever it happened. But, you know, I was just thinking this. In fact, I was complaining to God about this. Yeah, pray. In everything you think, just the will of God. And pray without ceasing. You know, there's no time that a child of God should not be praying. You know, men are always to pray and not to faint. You know, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain, is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. Life, you know, when you think about life really is meant to be a joyful thing. But because people don't really realize that Christ is life, most people don't really praise the Lord for life. Because they look at everything around them. I remember back when we first having children. Man, how are you going to bring a child into this world? Well, because God, they're His. They're His heritage. and God wants more people to praise Him. God wants more people to serve Him. And God wants more people to honor Him. And He said, this is the way He wants it done. So to God be the glory. You know, Proverbs 19, just a few pages over probably. Proverbs 19, verse 23. Excuse me. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. You know, satisfied person is a person that is not condemned. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever felt condemned that I've felt satisfied. I'm thinking, man, how do I get this stain off me? Or how do I get them to stop thinking that way about me? But see, that's the thing. That's the great freedom in the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord says, you know what, Lord? You know what my goal is pastoring. You know, not for you to think the right thoughts about me, but for you to think the right thoughts about God. I can't remember how many years ago I said this, but I said, I'm no longer trying to convince you that I'm worthy to be followed. I'm trying to convince you that Christ is worthy to be followed. And the things I preach point you to Jesus Christ. Now, when I first started out, I felt like I had to prove by my testimony, by example, and the thing I want to prove is to God that I just love Him because I love Him, not for anything He can do for me. But just because I love Him, you know, because that's what true love is. It's not just, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, but will you be good to me? No, I love you because I fear you. it was liberating because, see, then now I'm answerable to God 100% for my relationship with Him. I'm accountable to God for you. And because I love Him, I want to be able to give a good answer to God for you. And so the way that will take place is not by convincing you to follow me so that you'll follow Him, but so that convince you that just to show you who Christ is, that if I hope my life will have something in it to where you'll say, He's worthy. That's my goal. But when I try to keep the glory, then it can stop there. You know, I remember I learned a valuable lesson. I was trying to reach some young people one time. And I was going this roundabout way, trying to witness to them, and I was trying to build up this thing and this foundation, and trying to, I guess, going this all way. I don't know. I was just going this big long explanation, and I was trying to bring them up to the point where I could tell them about Jesus Christ. And by the time I finally got to the point where I was trying to tell them about Jesus Christ, the time was gone. And they left, and I never got to say anything about Jesus. And all they heard was my great philosophical explanation that really ended in nothing. Instead of being able to start now, then just start with Jesus, and saying that he's the reason I'm here. He's the reason. In fact, you know, I start with many young people. I'm talking to them. You know, the whole reason that you are looking at me right now is because God loves you. And I said, God loves you so much that He'll take the most amazing things, as far as that have no ability, no power, no might, and He'll take something so unusable and say, you know, I'm going to work through that person so you can see me. I mean, that's how God works, you know. And so, but that confidence is not because of who I am, because of who He is. The way you're going to witness the way you need to witness is not ever believing you have enough. Let me even be honest, not even believing you're Spirit-filled enough. And though I believe, and I 100% believe that we need to walk in the Spirit. That's probably the greatest missing thing in life of many believers, a Spirit-filled life. But, you know, being filled with the Spirit doesn't always mean you feel like you're filled with the Spirit. You know what? One of the simplest, a filling of the Spirit is just as simple as yielding out of a fear of respect for God and trusting Him in an area that you know He's talking to you about.
Doesn't mean you feel good about it. I mean, there's some things you have to do that are right that you don't necessarily feel great about it, but you just know, well, I know God is leading me to do this. And as you yield to that, guess what? The Spirit enables, the Spirit helps, the Spirit strengthens, and the Spirit uses it for whatever purpose God wants it to. Even if we can't see the result the way we'd like to see it, you know? But the fear of the Lord is really that clean, you know? And because, you know, there's a lot of people, if they're going to come to the end of this life, you know, I look back, okay, except but the fear of God, I can look back on my life and I feel a lot of guilt about some wasted time. Now, do I wish I hadn't wasted time? Do I wish that I honored God with all the time that I have? Absolutely. I really wish I could change that, but you know what? God knows I can't change that. And you know what God is concerned about for me? God is concerned that I stop feeling guilty about something that He said He cleaned. And His concern for me is, if you fear me, then you know you can't touch the past and change that, but you know I've got something for you to do today, don't you? You know I've got something that, you know, because, and you said that, I told you this is my day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He said, I told you this is my day, so why don't you ask me what you want me to do with my day? And why don't you trust me that since it's my day and since I said there's no God beside me, he said, why don't you trust that I'm in control of the day that I made? And why don't you trust that even though it looks like I'm not in control, that you'll still ride with me? Anybody ride on a roller coaster? How many people? I don't think you have yet. Have you, Micah? Okay. And how many people felt like you were in control on the ride? Now, anybody? But now here's the question: anybody ride a roller coaster more than once? Now, I'm personally, I'm done with them, but I have ridden them more than once. Last time I got off one, my head hurt so bad, I thought this is just dumb. But the point I'm making is, you know, there are people all over the world paying billions of dollars to be in a situation where their life is totally out of control. And they're in a situation where they have no control of life whatsoever. But it's amazing. But there again, we really have to recognize this is why God gives us problems. So that the world can see that, you know what, even though our life is out of control, God, you're still worth riding with. And amazing, in fact, years ago when the Batman ride was the fastest ride out there, I took a youth group down and we rode it. And when I got the Batman ride, it was like, I mean, I wasn't exaggerating. I wasn't faking. It was that fast and those loops and that spin. And everybody got on the same way. And here they get off. You know what they did? That was the line to start back. And they went like, let's do that again, you know. And everybody, and people were probably walking by, looking at them and thinking, okay, that's how they came off. And they could probably hear the screams as they rounded the thing. And they see them getting back in line again. And they thought, this doesn't make any sense. But I think I just have to try it. You know, that's kind of like the Christian life, isn't it? You know, it really doesn't make any sense that God would abundantly pardon those who'd be so wickedly turned against Him. And not just to pardon them for a season, but for an eternity. And not just pardon them, but God would go so far as, He said, you know that name that has shame? Well, you say, I'm going to give you my name now. And my name is what you're going to be identified from now and forever. In fact, behold what men of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And it doesn't make sense that we should really bless those that curse us and pray for those that despitefully use us. It didn't really make sense that we should love as brethren. It didn't really make sense that if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, I'm just tired of dealing with them in that same thing over and over again. No. Ye who are spiritual, restore. Restore such a one in spirit of meekness. Bless all of these. That didn't really make sense, you know. And if a godly fear would fall over all of God's children everywhere, there would be such a heart-wrenching concern for lost people without Christ that the world would look at the way we believe about things and said, that doesn't make any sense, but I've just got to try that out. They still, or at least have to find out about it. I mean, I realize still that doesn't guarantee people are going to fall on and get saved, but it will, and I believe there will be a resurrection of interest in people to find out, you know, there's something about that that's different than what we've seen in normal religion. And that will only come by a fear of God. Of people that really walk free in condemnation, that to where even if the government says something against them, they don't have to shake their fists at the government and complain about having equal rights, but can with the love and compassion of Christ speak to those that would even have them incarcerated and imprisoned for the name of Jesus Christ. It's happening in other countries around the world. But in countries where we have so much freedom, if believers in Christ just even get the lucky look of, I don't know, a bad look, they want to run to some government official and say, we're not being treated fair. And I used to be on that bandwagon too, until the fear of God came over me. You know, I mean, what if Jesus would act like that? Like I pointed out before, it kind of blew me away when I was really studying about Jesus and Pilate. And Pilate said to him, hey, why won't you speak to me? Don't you know I have power to release thee? Here's the government. It would be like if I were in jail for the name of Jesus Christ and Justin Trudeau was there and I'm not defending myself. And he said, and I'm not talking to Prime Minister Trudeau. And he said that, you know, they say you're a Christian fanatic and that you believe Jesus is the only way of salvation. And they think that that's bigoted, that you shouldn't think that. Well, they think that's condemning, that you would say that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that you would say that no man can come to the Father except by through Jesus Christ. And the law say that you can be put to death for that. And he's saying all this to me, and he said, why won't you say something to me? Don't you know that I have power to release thee? But you know what Jesus said? They said, you couldn't have any power at all against me unless it was given thee from above. No, Jesus said, he said, I'm in jail right now. I'm getting ready to go to the cross because it's my Father's will. So the power to persecute the children of God, God allows it. So we can, by fear of him, you know what God says is important? He said the things that are temporal are not important. He said the things that are eternal are. And the fear of God, you know what, that because God, there's no God beside God, it says, you know what? Okay, God, your opinion is worth more than anybody else's opinion. So when you live your life for the temporal, all of the world may feel like, you know, that's your life's not amounting to much. But you know what? It's one of the most freeing places you could be. Because if you fear God and you realize that what he says governs, doesn't matter what look you get. Then maybe when you want, sometimes you even want to condemn yourself and say, am I really doing this right? But yeah, that's right, because Lord, I'm doing what you said. You know, my Savior had all power, and he only lived, and he willingly just only lived 33 years of age. That's amazing. But a fear of God says, you know what? That's all right. You know, Jesus didn't try to avoid that. You know, when he asked the Father, if it possibly the will would go from me, I mean, it wasn't the earthly death that he was afraid of, I don't think, because he was eternal. It was just that wrath of God and experiencing that and being separated from God. I mean, that's a horrible thing. Even the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Jesus seeing that, But he said, nevertheless, even if it didn't make sense to me, maybe, since he had the flesh nature, although his flesh nature could not sin. In the flesh, it might not have really made sense. But because of the fear of God, it made perfect sense. You know, that's why God really makes clear statements about himself, that there's nobody like him. Because he knows the struggle that we're all going to have with the different. Getting night, there's a different philosophy every way you turn. If you're trying to raise children, I mean, I can't think of the number of philosophies I've heard just on raising children just since we started having ours. Changes every couple of years, and this, oh, this is the perfect way. This will, they will come up right, do this, do that, and you know what? And God knows we didn't handle everything right, but the things we handled wrong, you know what? You know the things we handled wrong? You know why that was? Because we didn't fear God properly. Unfortunately, you know, there are times in parenting I thought, you know, I've been doing this a little bit. I think I've got this figured out. And that's when I make mistakes. I tell my children often, I said, the problem that you've seen from me, they're not because there's anything wrong with God. It's not wrong with how I follow God. Because God's always right, you know. And the problem is sometimes where people struggle is because when we're caught up in religion, we blame God for things, you know. we don't, I won't say, but we do something in the name of God, then that's not necessarily right. It's really just us. And then people think, well, I don't want to fear that God. And that's why I always challenge. That's what, you know, the greatest thing about our God, he is a personal God. When he says, call unto me, he's talking to you, every one of us in this room. Call unto me and I shall answer thee and show thee great and mighty things with thou. No, it's not. He says, come unto me. He says that. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He didn't even say come to church. He teaches that later, though church is important. If you come to him and get to know him, you'll love church because you love his people. I can't remember if I said this, but we went to a couple of weeks ago when we preached the Bible Baptist. I said that, didn't I? But didn't we give you money? Were you here? Were you awake when I was preaching that last time? Anyway, Lenny. By the way, Lenny's going to tell you hi. I was there this morning. Lenny and Darwin, which is Darwin's Lenny's husband, had given Micah and Morgan some money. And they don't really know Micah and Morgan, but they know me. And just like most of you here, I would say many, I say all of you, I think you love me. And because they love me, they gave them some money. And I told the boys that that's why I come to church. Because God loves everybody here. And so I love who God loves. And even if I don't know them as close as I know God, because I love God, I naturally love God's children. That's why to me it's no question for me about coming to church because I love God. And I haven't always been to say there's times I love me, and I came for ego's sake. But now I can sincerely say I love God. Now, in case you're nervous, I'm not expecting to give the kids any money. But that's just an illustration that it would fit the situation. We just appreciate your prayers and your faithfulness to Him. Because when you're faithful to Him, whatever you're supposed to be to me, to my children, it'll always be right. And I don't come looking with expectations for anybody to do anything, you know, except but just to know Him and to walk with Him. When that happens, you know, the fruit will be there. You know, the love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, the faith. You know, and that's all I long for. Seeing God filled with joy and peace and faith and goodness to other people. You know, and God can do that. But it only comes by fear of the Lord. Amen. So Father, in Jesus' name, the fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. I pray, Lord, such a great thing to fear you, knowing that we can have such a life free from condemnation. And so, Lord, we just thank you today for allowing us to be in service. We thank you for the time to preach the Word of God. We thank you for the reality of being able to walk with you, Lord. And God, I just pray that you take this message and accomplish your purpose with it. I pray that if there be any of your children here today that maybe battling sin issues or guilt issues, I pray they would take time to ask you of your opinion of their sin and ask you what you want them to do about their sin. And Father, they'll just do what you said. I know particularly, according to 1 John 1:9, then they have the authority from you to put all that in the past. In fact, to put it beyond the past, to just have it clean and gone. Because you said their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. So, Father, I just pray that you'll lead your children. Maybe there's someone here struggling in some other area. Maybe they feel like they wasted time or not handled their life properly. Lord, just let them put that in your hands as well. Because you're not worried about that. You're worried about this moment, what they do with you. I pray you'll empower your children here to fear you, so they can know the great reality of having a life that's just really simple again as you plan for Christ and have a life free from condemnation. Maybe there's some here today that's never been born again. They know they're not your child, but they see enough in the God that you are and the payment of Christ, the sacrifice, that today's the day they would like to give their life to you, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Would you give them the faith just to talk to you and to express that to you? And Father, if they'll just come to you with an open heart and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know you'll save them. And I know that if you actually save them, you'll put such a reverence and a fear of them, they'll be willing to testify about to everyone about what you did. You can do that, Father. Lord, you know how we all stand here today and how we fear you or whether we don't fear you. But since you said the fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever, I pray that every single person in this room would fear you in the way that would bring you the most glory. And I thank you that because of the God that you are, that if we fear you in the way that brings you the most glory, it will be also bring us the most blessing. More than we could ever possibly imagine, because you're not the God that loves, you're the God that is love. I thank you for everything that you are. Touch our hearts, speak to us, please, and give us the faith to trust you completely. And I ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.